Shalom. We're going to be learning a mimer from Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger in the Sefer Bnei Bechori Yisrael. It's mimer Aleph. In order to save time, we're not going to be doing the mimer inside. It's a long mimer, and he has a lot of great mimerim. So we're going to be doing it outside, going over some of the main points, and we'll throw in a few other ideas along the way. To start us off in the Sefer, Rav Kluger starts discussing about the idea how Pesach is related to Chesed. First of all, we know the headquarters of Chesed Avram Avinu, obviously, so one of the main stories of Avram Avinu in the Torah is Avram inviting the three Malachim in, which those that say that was Pesach. So we see that a great act of Chesed and a great teaching of Chesed of Avram happened on Pesach. In addition, Rav Kluger writes that when we see the word Pesach in the Torah, so our original, you know, I think most of our understandings, and probably the more common translation, is that of Dilug, which Rashi talks about there, which means passing over, right, to skip over. But the first understanding in Rashi is actually Chamal, which is mercy, compassion, right? That Hashem is showing compassion and a level of love to the Jewish people. So we see that there's a deep connection between this Lashon of Pesach, this Chag of Pesach, and the Ava Hashem has for us. Obviously, it's the Chag where Hashem took us as a nation. We're going to discuss that, and that was the greatest love that Hashem could have shown for us. But just to keep in mind that if there's such an opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a loving way, and there's such an opportunity to connect to really Am Yisrael in a very loving way, so there has to be, if it's the headquarters of Chesed, there has to be that the side of the Yitzhahara, the side of Sitra Achra, is working very hard in order to remove this love. Right? We know that Pesach can be a very stressful time. Pesach can be a very difficult time. It could be a difficult time between people, it could be a difficult time between family members, it could be a difficult time between a person and Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you sending me this? All these different struggles, how am I supposed to enjoy Chag with all these different burdens that are thrown upon me, and financially, and physically, and emotionally, and everything that's going on before Pesach in a typical Jewish home, it's not always the easiest. It's a challenge of love. Right. Whenever we have a new gate opening, right, or a new opportunity to tap into blessing from Hashem, so there's always going to be a conflicting force trying to take away from that. For example, on Shabbos Kodesh, there's also a great opportunity for Ava, but really a time of Shlemus, more a time of completion. Right, we say Shabbat Shalom. So right before Shabbos is a huge time where also there could be period, there could be separation. Again, a high level of stress, a high level of intensity. Now the goal is, B'zat Hashem, if we could prepare ourselves enough in the proper way with the right mindset, and you know, Chachamim and Baruch Hu, to see things from beforehand, that, okay, Pesach can be a stressful time, to try and prepare ourselves a little bit that we go in with the right mindset, that we could see these things before they happen, see the situations before they play out, and have the most positive, loving mindset to bring us closer to other people and to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this amazing opportunity of Pesach. To start to try and understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, so we start at the Chag of Pesach because that's when we really became a nation, right? When Hashem chose us to be His nation. But it's a funny time to start. It's a funny time to start becoming His nation. It's a funny time to discuss love because when we think about it, we know that we're in the lowest level of Tumah. We're in the most impure place when we are in Mitzrayim, on the 49th level of Tumah. And Dafka, from that place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us to become His nation. It's a very interesting thing. Right? He could have taken us at a time before we were at such a low. Why did He need to wait till we were in such a dark, dark place? Hashem's love for us goes beyond our understanding. And that's one of the first steps we need to take to really feel Hashem's love, is understand that we can't understand it. It's His love for us is so great and unconditional. The Pasuk says, when we should go in, by bringing the Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim, so when the Pasuk is speaking about that, Chazal comment on that and say that it's really teaching us we should really remove our hands. Mashchu yadecha me'avodah zarah, that we ourselves should stop serving avodah zarah. We were involved in avodah zarah in Mitzrayim. And part of avodah zarah is avodah zarah, the avodah of a zar, serving Hashem like a stranger, looking at things in a very chitzonious, external way. And part of the avodah is of leaving Mitzrayim was leaving that way of looking at things in such an external way of looking at things, looking at our connection with Hashem in such an external way, understanding that, no, His love for us goes way beyond our actions. It goes way beyond our levels of Tumah, our levels of Tahara. It's something much, much deeper than that. Kluger quotes a beautiful idea from the Chos of Lublin. talking about the Yetzer Hara, and Rabbi Nachman speaks about this a lot, of the Yetzer Hara tries to get us down and get us down and get us sad about the past of errors we've done, and say, who are you? Who do you think you are to serve Hashem in this new way? Right, sometimes we have an inspiration. We get all of a sudden we're excited for this chag. I'm going to reach a new level of closeness to Hashem. I'm going to daven like I haven't davened before. Maybe I'm going to buy a new machzor. I'm going to understand the tefillah in a deeper way. I'm going to buy a new haggadah. I'm really excited for the seder this year. I'm going to put a new effort into it. And then the Yetzer Hara says, no, are you kidding me? Do you know what you did 3 days before the seder? Do you know you just got angry at a person a few hours ago? Do you know that what you've done this past year since last seder, and do you think that's going to be any better than last year's seder? So I'll read you part of what he quotes from the Chosa. It says, "Ach misha oeves habori baruchu be'emes, lo l'shum schar be'emes einu chash gam im haya mitzdarach liyo be'gehenem b'shvil abas habori baruchu." A person who wants to be in love with Hashem and truly has this desire to connect to Hashem, and he's not doing it for the reward. So he doesn't care about what the Yetzer Hara says. He doesn't care when the Yetzer Hara says, "Who are you?" And he doesn't even care if he has to be in Gehenim in order to serve Hashem, in order to really show his love for Hashem. It doesn't make a difference to him. It doesn't matter. He's not doing it for Olam Haba. He's not doing it for Gan Eden. He's not doing it to help clarity in times of Mashiach. He's not doing it for any. He's doing it to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we're doing something to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to be able to knock out every other voice that's trying to put us down and say, you have no place here. We don't care if we have a place here. We don't care what the Yetzer has to say. Because it's not about reaping some reward from it. It's about, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an unconditional connection to me. I know that his connection as Ava for us is something that we don't understand. And we're going to try and understand a little bit more, but we can't understand. And if that's the case, then all I have to do is continue pushing forward in that relationship with him, even when I feel like it's not shaykh at all for me to be reaching towards this next level of righteousness. And this is one of the big eights of Rabbi Nachman, is that a person can't get down. We can't get down, we can't start thinking about our past and get down. Even the Yetzer Hara would take us and show us, take our hand and show us sin by sin that we've committed, right? It doesn't matter, like this part we're talking about when it comes to tshuva, we have two eyes in front of our head. Not one in the front, one in the back. Right? Because we're always supposed to be looking forward. It doesn't mean there's time for tshuva, but when we're trying to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this time of Ahava, time of running towards Him, Mashcheni Acharecha Narutza, run after Hashem, He's pulling us towards Him. Imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling us towards Him. There are small stumbling blocks along the way. All we need to do is hop over them. We can't get pulled down by our past. So we know there's an idea that 4/5 of Am Yisrael did not make it out of Mitzrayim. And the Navi Yechezkel talks about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really should have destroyed all the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. They weren't in a place of holiness. We were in the lowest place of Tumah that we could have been in. So an interesting question comes up, which is, we know that there's a statement of Chazal that says, Halu of the Avodazar, Halu of the Avodazar. That before the Yam Suf split, so there's a tain against the Jewish people. Why should it split for the Jewish people? They worship idols. And also look at the midstream. They worship idols. So what is so special about the Jewish people that they should be saved? They're idol worshippers. Why are they any different? And what makes the question even stronger is interesting is, this is the fifth that actually made it out of Mitzrayim. The 1/5 that made it out of Mitzrayim were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose this fifth? And why did he choose the Jewish people at all? Right? It's nice that we talk about a lot of Chazals and, okay, there's certain things we didn't lose in Mitzrayim, but the reality is the Jewish people were in the lowest place they've been. And in some ways, that actually makes it all the more beautiful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still chose us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still pulled us out of Mitzrayim. So Rav Kluger brings a beautiful mashal. He speaks about how if there's a student in yeshiva, and the student's, been in yeshiva for a nice little while, and all of a sudden the student asks, the bachar asks a great question, and he gives a great answer to a question. And all of a sudden the Rav gives him this, wow, he's so excited for him. And he gives him this big smile. Show him you did good. You did good. So he says that in the end result is actually something more negative than it is positive. Because if what gives, when the Rebbe gives this student, this big smile or this encouragement, only when he gives an answer, which was a great answer or a great question, So the question is, what's going on the rest of the time? Right? Is it the question that caused the Rebbe to show him some value? To show him some care? To show him some love? If so, so then that's as valuable as the student is. The student is as valuable as the question is a good question or a good answer. And doesn't have value within himself. Since it was the same thing with the Jewish people. In an external way, it was very hard to tell the difference between us and the Mitzrayim. Halu of the Avodah Zarah, halu of the Avodah Zarah. We both serve the Avodah Zarah. No, what's really the difference between them? Well, but there's something deeper. There was something deeper that was different, right? There was a ratzon, maybe a desire. That doesn't always show on the surface. But there was a desire that was different than the Mitzrayim. And you see it in one place is by Pesach Sheni. There's no such inyan by any other chag. Pesach Sheni. And the Jewish people came to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, no, it's not fair. Why didn't we have an opportunity to bring the Karban Pesach? Because we were tamei. And then, okay, no, they have another chance to do it. 30 days later, there's Pesach Sheni, another opportunity to bring the Karban. But you know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just in love with the fact that the Jewish people came to him and said, our ratzon is to serve you. That's what our ratzon is. It's not like, nice, we don't have to bring the karban, great, we don't have to bring the karban. We get out of this mitzvah, nice, we don't need to worry about it. Which is a shame when that's our mindset. And it's obviously it's hard not to have that mindset. But when we can have the mindset of, yeah, my whole tachas, my whole desire is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not looking to get out of things. And if halachically I'm not obligated in something, I'm still longing to do it, even if I'm not even able to. And obviously that's a hard level to reach. But that's a level we have to try and reach. Right? It's constantly our desire, working on our desires, that our desire should be to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, we can tell a lot about ourselves by what our desires are. Or where are our desires? What are they focused on? What are we constantly desiring? When we do a little bit of inventory on what do I desire in life, on a regular basis, go through my day. Majority of time, I'm thinking of desires. What is it that I desire? It could be a huge muster. Could be a very big learning experience for ourselves. So let's answer one of the questions we asked earlier, which is, why did that 1/5 make it out of Mitzrayim? Right? Again, that 1/5 were of the Avodah Zarah. Why did they make it out of Mitzrayim? So Kluger brings an answer from the Rush. And specifically speaking about Dasan V'Aviram, why were they part of the 5th that made it out of Mitzrayim? It doesn't seem to make so much sense. And the Rush says, Yish Lomar of Afal Bishay Rishayim, even though they were Rishayim. They were wicked people. Lo nityashu min ha-geula. Unbelievable idea. They didn't despair of redemption. They didn't fall into despair. That even though they were in such a low place, and even though they were considered Rishayim, that they still believed that they would be redeemed. Right? And I think this is a big avoda in terms of our avodas Hashem on an everyday basis. For sure, we all go through our struggles. Every single one of us has our things that we struggle with. Things that we wish we would be past already. Maybe we're even embarrassed we're still struggling with. It's like so basic. It's like, ah. And there are things that are less basic, but it's like, it's beyond us at times to contemplate. How am I still struggling? But the question is, do we, as human beings, as Yidden, do we realize that when we're struggling, that doesn't make us any less worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love? And I think that's really the whole basis of this Maamar, to my understanding. Do we still understand that even if we're in the Mem Tet Shari Tuma, we're in the lowest place of our lives, that doesn't make us any less worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love? This is, at this point, in the lowest of the lowest, when Hashem chose us as His nation. Dafkara showed us that it's not the externals that make us fit for His love. It's true. The externals will make us feel His love the most, potentially. And the externals will help us reach the greatest satisfaction and meaning and purpose of our lifetime, absolutely. And it's for sure we're here to perform mitzvot, but do we realize that Hashem's love is not dependent on that? And even when the Yitzhar tries to show us how we sin, maybe even worse than the Mitzrayim, or the Jews when they were in Mitzrayim, for us to say, B'ni B'chor Yisrael, I'm Hashem's firstborn. Hashem's mamish in love with me. This amunah that Hashem hasn't given up on us, this amunah that Hashem cares about us, regardless of the fact that we can't get past certain struggles, or we're struggling to get past them. That emunah is what will save us, B'zat Hashem, from this galus, from our own personal galus and the galus that we're in right now. Believing that we're worthy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's love, even when it doesn't feel like we should, you know, we're really doing what we have to be doing. We know we're not where we have to be. Another big point is the fact that they were Ma'aman and Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them that they're worthy of Hashem's love, that they will be redeemed. Right? And Rabbeinu speaks a lot, Rabbi Nachman speaks about that a lot. The idea that a person is medavik to a tzaddik, a person is really clinging to a tzaddik, that even if they shouldn't have any hope for themselves in the next world, if they're clinging to a tzaddik, they will have hope in the next world. They will, just by clinging to the tzaddik, just by having a moon in the tzaddik. This is an unbelievable point he brings up, Rav Kluger brings up, which is Avram Avinu asks Hashem in the Bris Bein HaBasharim, how do I know that I'll, you know, that there'll be an inheritance here? Ma'ida ki yishrena. How do I know? And Chazal say that because of this, so there was the Galus Mitzrayim. And we have to ask a question, like, what's the connection here? What's the connection between Avram asking, if it's like, Hashem, are you going to stick with my, you know, stick with me all the generations down the line, and us getting the punishment of Mitzrayim like we got? Maybe what Avram Avinu was really asking, Hashem, are you going to give up on my children? How do I know that no matter how far they stray, you'll be there for them? And we have to go down to Mitzrayim in order for Hashem to really fulfill that promise to Avram Avinu. So that even if they reach the farthest place away from me, I'm not going to give up on them. Avram, they're still your children, and they're still my children, Hashem teaches us. And the Maamar goes on much further, but we're going to finish with one last point. Of course, it's kedai to read in time, inside, if you have the ability and if you have the time. But just to finish off, it's important that we speak to ourselves softly. It's important that we speak to ourselves like we would speak to a child who errs. We're not so harsh. We shouldn't be so harsh on ourselves. It's true we need to push harder. It's true we need to put in more effort. It's true we have to prepare our best for Pesach. But the best preparation, maybe one of the best preparations we could really have, is learning the proper way of speaking to ourselves. To look at ourselves the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us. And not the way that the Yetzer Hara tries to tell us Hashem looks at us. But mamish the way Hashem looks at us. This Chag of Pesach should be an opportunity for us to do what we can. To do what we can to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to do what we can to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unbelievable Ahava for us. He's mamish obsessed with us. He's running after us in the Midbar. We're running after Him. He's pulling us after Him. Mashachini acharecha narutza. And one last thing is, a person might think, okay, so new, but if I'm all Ava with Hashem, if Hashem loves me so much, so then why do I have to do anything? Maybe I'm not going to end up doing any mitzvos, and what's the point? What's the difference? The answer is no, it's really the hefech. If we really, really, really understood how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us, we would be running after His Torah mitzvos. If we really understood that His love for us was unconditional, we'd be so much more obsessed with serving Him in a healthy way. It's because we feel cast aside. It's because we feel, judged. It's because we feel distant. It's because we feel not cared about at times, after we fall, after we sin. What Rav Kluger and Rabbi Nachman and all Pnimis the Torah and Chazal were teaching us is that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, were teaching us that it's not shaykh to just give up on us. It's not shaykh to be misyayish. Hashem's love for us is much deeper than our actions. If we truly internalize that, it will change our actions. It won't just change a nice idea in our head. Knowing that someone really cares about you, that someone loves you no matter what you do, will make you want to do good for them. Will make you want to be connected to them. We feel judged for the way we act. We're not running to do something for that person. And if we are, it's typically not the healthiest relationship. Now, not to say there's no aspect of judgment din and cheshbon at the end of days, but in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connection to us, that is unconditional. And Chazal themselves were not afraid to say this. Izu ben olam haba za somech gula tefila. So a person somech gula tefila, say three ashes, a person's a ben olam haba all of a sudden? Shouldn't they be worried that a person's not going to want to serve Hashem? It's like, no, because if you've tasted what somech gula tefila means, You've tasted an ounce of Olam Haba, your mamish gonna run after it with all your heart. If it's mushrash within you that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, within ourselves, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is there with us, no matter what, we can have the ability to create a relationship that goes beyond serving Hashem like a slave, which is a nice way to serve Him, but it's not the highest way. We could start serving Him like a son. I bless us all. We should be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a son, like a daughter, like a child. This Pesach, B'ni Bechor Yisrael, is Hashem's Bechor. We should be zochah to be makabel, the Abba that Hashem has for us, in the most beautiful, real, and complete way, and share it with the rest of Am Yisrael. Thank you so much for joining us.